when I was younger. I can blame it on him then. I had a party at my house in high school, and some of you are like, oh yeah, a lot of stories start this way. Listen, I didn't do a lot of parties, but when I did, they were legend, wait for it, dairy. I want to make it absolutely clear, I did not ever, at any of the parties that I ever threw, I did not include alcohol, I did not include drugs, I did not include any substances like that. But I was proud to be the guy that had the parties where without any substances at all, we did stupider things than the parties where they had them. Here are the things that I could count on if there was a party at my house. At some point, we would play video games. Maybe not everyone, but I would get them out and others would play. At some point, that would happen. We would always, always have stereos connected. In this particular party, I remember we had strung amplifiers together, and we had more speakers in the family room of my house than most nightclubs need, let alone one room of a house. I remember specifically, it was one of the rare times in my life where I'm like, we should turn this down. What I don't remember is why at this particular party, and I promise you this was happening, and I promise you I don't remember why. But we were doing WWE style wrestling. And it was amazing. Least stupid. But we were, you know, if you can pick another guy up and you can throw him backwards, plus one. If you can get a guy in a headlock and swing him around to grab another in a headlock, you were awesome. And there was a friend I had, he was just about my height and at the time just about my weight, and he was really into this and he followed wrestling even a lot more than I did. I don't know why. I don't know why we were doing this. I don't know how it got started. I don't know what was going through his mind, but after all, again, with absolutely no substances, we were just being nuts. He was going to do the old flying lunge onto one of my other friends who was on the sofa. What are you talking about? Like, why is that not an epic idea? I'll have to ask Adam sometime. My friend Adam got up to the highest point he could find and true, like, entertainment style, threw his arms out and jumped. And he landed it. Only the other guy was quick enough to, like, roll out of the way. So here's what happened. For whatever reason that was going on, I promise you, here's what happened. We heard like, and I'm trying, I can hear the noise. I don't know if I can replicate the noise, but it was like, pop! Okay? It wasn't a loud crack, but there was definitely something that popped. And we're like, one of two things has just occurred. Either my friend Adam just broke his back, or my parents' sofa is in some way not whole. And I know that you're laughing, and I know it sounds funny. I was scared to death when the ambulance pulled up. I'm just kidding. No, I'm sorry. I did that. I shouldn't have. Adam got up. Half of the people there were like, do it again! The other half were like, you heard that, right? And so it's kind of like, let's pause everything for a moment. And as thoroughly as a room full of high schoolers can, we inspected everywhere for damage. It went like this. Not, we're good. And we just kept on. I know that my parents are hugely disappointed in me for this. And that hurts. But it happened. I remember the next time I sat on the couch thinking, that's not right. It didn't look wrong from the outside, so again, with our absolute sleuth detective thorough investigation, I don't know how we could have missed anything. I'll assume that it wasn't broken. But the next time I sat on it, I'm like, that's not right. And then we'd sit on this couch as a family and watch movies, and somebody was on the other end, and we were watching a film. I don't know, my brother, my sister, or a friend, but somebody's sitting there like, I know how couches work, and it's not like this. And eventually, that area of the couch, it was It was funny. It was just subtle. It would set a little lower, and it would set a little lower, until there was a point, and it was such a slow adjustment over time with use, where eventually you'd notice if you were sitting on that end, you were a head below. So here's what happened, if you haven't put it together. Adam broke my parents' couch. I washed my hands. I'm not in any way culpable. Dang it, Adam. The couch was broken. And I assume that it was something inside that just said, "I give," when he did his super suplex onto it. And so the couch didn't set right ever again, and it was indeed broken in that seat. I don't know how it worked. I don't know these things. But just, you know, lower and lower and lower, and it was weird. Person. But the couch was broken. Something was wrong. I didn't have the means to fix it or the knowledge to fix it. My parents didn't have the means or the knowledge to fix it, but that was the main sofa in that room for a while. And something was wrong with it. Now, I've tried to paint the picture for you. You don't, the color's not important and all that, but clearly, like, that's not how a sofa goes, okay? So what if we had wanted to resell that sofa? I mean, what if we had wanted to do that? If we thought, hey, we can get a new one, but we need to make a little money off of this one, or just we've got new furniture. If we'd wanted to resell that, could we just go out and do that? No. Unless we really wanted to cover something up. No, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work unless we put some kind of label on it or put some kind of, you know, verbiage attached to it, like scratch and dent. I think the facetious way is gently used, right? Damaged goods. If you do that, we could have tried selling the sofa. I don't know if people would have bought it or not, but that would at least be a partial disclosure that there was an issue with this, right? To call it scratch and dent, to call it damaged goods, to call it broken, whatever you want to say, somehow we would have had to have known that wasn't right. And as far as me or anyone in my family was concerned, it couldn't be made right. Now, I suppose there's somebody out there that would be handy with carpentry enough that could have taken it apart and looked in the material, that would have been good with upholstery, and if they had those skill sets, they could have fixed it, right? That person probably exists, doesn't? Yeah, okay. We weren't that person. Nobody in my family was. We didn't know anyone. And so there we had the broken couch. Like, all right, let's watch this movie. Where are you going to sit? I'm not sitting on the broken couch. Or I'm going to sit on two of the three seats of the broken couch, but not the third seat. That's just how it went. So I think, you know, in reselling that couch, we never did, by the way. Funny story, I inherited that couch. I think my parents were all too glad to give it specifically to me. Like, your brother is older and needs furniture before you, but you can have this. But at any rate, that was Adam's fault. At any rate, you've probably been to sales where you've seen things, maybe not exactly like that, but you've seen where they have scratch and dent models. Or they have something that got damaged on the semi. It was, you know, freight that got hurt somehow, and you could buy it at a discounted price. Or maybe it was just in really ear repair. It's like a fixer-upper, like a fix-it-yourself or sold for pieces. You've seen those things, haven't you, when you've been out shopping? Anyone? Okay, good. I was afraid of being alone at that moment. You've seen those, and normally, because it's obvious in some cases, and not as obvious, if it's minor, if it's a small blemish, you look at it and you go, well, yeah, they're going to give me $200 off this fridge because there's a little scratch on the side? I don't care. Does it work? Yeah, okay, great. I'll take that fridge. But there are other things like a used car that has 700 million miles on it and a tire's missing at like $50. That's not a deal. You've seen those things that are resold and they're labeled somehow as either damaged goods or again, scratch and dent or gently used or whatever the title is. It lets you know that they're not perfect. And if you're knowledgeable on how to fix them, it can seem like a great deal. You can buy it and fix it up, or if it's a small thing, but when it's an obvious blemish, maybe that's something you don't really want. Let me quick jump into the category of people. How many times have you looked at a person and thought, wow, there's a scratch and dent person. They really have some stuff going on. How many times have you looked at a person and thought, they are damaged goods. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad I'm not related to them. I'm so glad I'm not married to them. I'm so glad they're not my child, whatever. And you can pick out the flaws and you see them, and they're not really small. But even if they are, we're good at seeing those too. But you've looked at another person. Please, let's be honest this morning. I know you're in church and you're like, no, Pastor, I would not do that. That's not Christ-like. I'm going to slap you. Let's be honest in church, okay? God knows better. You've looked at people and you've thought, damaged goods. Scratch and dent plus scratch and dent plus dent, scratch, 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 dent, scratch, dent. You've looked at someone and thought, broken, haven't you? You've done this. A few brave people are nodding their heads, okay? Some of you are looking at me right now thinking, Pastor, do you know? He knows. Let's go one step farther. How many of you have ever looked at, we'll say a mirror, and thought the person that you're seeing there is damaged goods? How many of you have ever looked at yourself and thought, geez, I've done this, and this has happened to me, and I know this about me, and there's no way in the world that I'm worth a lot? Have you been there? Again, I can say, I know I have. And sometimes the problem is we are too harsh in judging others, and almost always the problem is we are way too harsh in judging ourselves. That we look at us and we see, because of a relationship that ended poorly, we think, I don't belong in a relationship. There's no way to make right what happened. I don't even understand what hope I have. Or we think of a loss that we've suffered and we're like, I'm just not whole. There's a part of me that's just missing. It's gone, and I am not whole, and I will never be whole because of it. Or we think of something that someone said about us. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. Wrong. Sometimes we carry those words around and they get heavier and we believe them. We buy into them. We start to live into them. And it's like 5,000 pounds on our shoulders that somebody has told us, or maybe multiple someone's have told us. And we see ourselves and we're like, I belong in the discounted section at best, and at worst, set me on the curb because I'm trash. You've thought that way. At least I have, and so I'm assuming at least one other person in the room has. Well, in this series that I'm starting today, and as I mentioned, we are starting Lent. Lent is the time of preparation leading up to the celebration of Easter, but let's just not jump to the goodness that is Easter, to the new life. Lent is a time to stop and say, wait a minute. There are some very serious things that we do. There are some very serious problems that we have. And thank God for Jesus Christ, who can forgive us for those things. But Lent is the time where to reflect on that, maybe even again reflect on our own mortality. So I'm doing this series called Restoration Project. And you're thinking, that's a funny title for a message. Yes, but I don't want to focus on how big, how blemished, how broken someone else is in our eyes, or how broken we are. But the idea that God has the ability to restore anything. And so I'm touching on something that I just mentioned as part of a sermon 2 weeks ago, but I believe it to the core of who I am. This is one thing that I want you to get out of this series. One, God is the creator. God invented creativity. God can restore anything. He has the skills and the knowledge and the tools that there is nothing and there is no person that cannot be brought into a beautiful and whole life by our God. I want you to know that. But the other thing that I want you to recognize, maybe you can look and identify some ways in your own self that you are broken, that you are hurt, that you have been scratched and dented, that there's sin in your life, whatever you want to call it. It's Lent. And let's take that seriously. And so as we go through this series, I really want you to know there are some things that could be fixed about you. There are some ways that you may have hurt others, and there are some ways you may be hurting. But again, that through Jesus Christ, God can restore anyone. Anyone. And so to demonstrate this, because there may be some of you thinking this morning, yeah, but you don't know me, Pastor. I hear what you're saying and it sounds very preachy-like, but you don't know me. So I want to start again with a character who I like to call Paul. Why do I like to call him that? Because that's his name. The Apostle Paul. Let me tell you a few things about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had missionary journeys that they estimate covered some 10,000 miles. You say at the end of the day, like, I walked to the end of my block and met a new neighbor. Uh-huh. The Apostle Paul, they estimate, covered 10,000 miles. He didn't have a scooter, a motorcycle, a car, or an airplane. He traveled by boat, boats that needed oars, and he walked. That's pretty impressive. I'm going to give Paul plus one right there. The Apostle Paul is credited with writing, just over 50%. Let me reword that, just over half of our New Testament writings. When you read Scripture, if it's any time it deals with Jesus on forward, roughly half of what you would read was recorded in some way by the Apostle Paul. That's pretty good. Man has a chunk of the Bible. Let's give him plus one again. He's a pretty good guy. He was the first Christ-following church planter. Many of you see new churches come up or know of people that have wild success starting a church. This guy started it. There is no Andy Stanley in Atlanta without the Apostle Paul. There is no Rick Warren in California without the Apostle Paul. Because he traveled so far and was so convincing and truly brought the love of God to these people, churches popped up here and there where he went. There's a church. That's pretty amazing. This Paul guy, like, he's up here on my list. He's pretty cool. Paul gave his life. Paul lost his life. The cause of Paul's death, execution. He gave his life spreading the message of Jesus, declaring that he was Lord and that anyone who wanted could find hope in living in his ways. Paul was killed for his faith. Jeez. The Apostle Paul went from regular guy to, like, he truly is in sainthood. We got to look up there. There's Paul, right? He's amazing. Listen to how the Apostle Paul, though, described himself. So this is from a couple different books that Paul either dictated or wrote or had a hand in. Listen to how he describes himself. Are you ready for this? I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, but brought up in this city, he says in Acts 22. I studied under Gamaliel, and you're like, big deal. No, Gamaliel was one of the lead thinking Pharisees, one of the religious experts. He was like one of the experts, okay? He says, I was born a Jew, born in Tarsus, brought up in this city, and studied under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. Just as zealous for God. I persecuted the followers of the way. And you're like, what is the way? Those were the early Christians, those that followed Christ. After his death and subsequent resurrection, there were those that said he truly was the Son of God. Paul says, I persecuted them. I persecuted the followers of the way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council will testify. In other words, there were witnesses to this. I'm not making it up. I took those followers of Jesus. I hunted them down. I made sure that they paid the steepest penalty possible. Many of them died. I didn't care if it was a man or a woman. I was zealous for God, but I believed this is what I was supposed to be doing. I even obtained letters from them and their associates in Damascus and went to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. So he didn't just find the ones in his vicinity. Paul went out and found wherever somebody was worshiping Christ, and he would get letters like commissioning him to go do this. He would get the information from the high priests and the other rulers, and he would go out. Like, his first missionary journey was to bring someone in for imprisonment and probably death. Well, maybe he's not such a great guy. And then he writes this. That's the end of his description in Acts 22. And I'm going to 1 Timothy 1 because he kind of finishes his story there. So this is the Christian hunting, people persecuting, death sentence getting, chasing down followers of Christ, Paul. And he says this in 1 Timothy, but I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy of being in his service. See, somewhere in there, Paul had a change of heart. And you want to talk about damaged goods? Listen to what that man said about himself and the things he was doing. But he had a change of heart. He decided he too should follow Jesus because Jesus is truly Lord of all. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus that he considered me trustworthy of appointing to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. And listen to this here. This is like the pinnacle of his story about himself. Listen to this. Here's a trustworthy saying. So Paul's saying this, and he's saying, you better believe what I'm saying. Here's a trustworthy saying. It deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let me help put that into our context for today. Christ Jesus came into the world to save the broken. Christ Jesus came into the world to save all of those people that have things separating them from the purity and perfectness and holiness that is God. Jesus entered the world for that purpose. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul has a mirror in front of him and he looks at it and he says, you know who that is? That's a sinner. That's a broken man. He could probably look in that mirror and picture the people that he put into prison. He could probably look in the mirror and see his image and behind him see the faces of the men and the women screaming, being dragged away from their children to execution. And he was responsible for it. Paul looked in the mirror and said, I'm a sinner and I'm the worst of sinners. But he didn't let that end his story. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy because I was so sinful, because I was the worst. Like if you think of lowly things and then the maggots that crawl below lowly things and then the excrements of the maggots crawling below lowly things, like that's me. I was the worst. But because I was the worst, I was shown mercy. Christ Jesus displayed his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul says, I was the example because you can't find a more broken and a worse person. You can't find it. You can look around. Paul would say, show me. Show me who's bad. Show me who's done something wrong. Thief, you think you're bad? Liar, you think you're bad? Listen to what I've done. And he says, but Christ forgave me, and he did that, if I can paraphrase, to prove that no one is beyond hope. For that very reason, because I was the worst of sinners, Christ showed me mercy and displayed his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And so he ends with, now to that King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only true God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So I want to ask, how about you? When you get into that place where you can be really honest, that you try and shut out with your brain, that you try not to pay attention to, or you try and bury under the pillows at night, but it haunts you. When you get into that space and you think of what you've done or maybe what's been done to you and there's no way you can be fixed, how about you? Where are you at? Do you believe you're so far gone that Jesus' grace, it can't find you there? Do you believe that God won't have mercy on you? Do you believe that you are so damaged you can never be with the rest of the goods that is perfectly normal? You are bound to wear a label forever. Damaged goods, scratch and dent, broken, trash. Because again, one of the things that I want to say to you through this series is if that's your thought, you are wrong. And I can only stand up here and say that because I know it's the same for me. I know that no matter what I've done or how far I've gone, man, if there's hope for the Apostle Paul, there's hope for me. I want to say that to you. If the worst of sinners self-proclaimed and backed it up with witnesses and actions, if the worst of sinners, someone who went after Christians, can say, there's hope for me, then there is hope for you. And again, through this series, I want you to know that hope comes in the form of Jesus Christ, sent by God to forgive us our sins and offer us a better way of life. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save the lost, to restore even the worst of sinners. God can make you into part of his vibrant creation and bring you to wholeness and wellness. So as we go through this series, we have this nasty, crusty, rusty, dirty, dingy, ugly, stupid, old door. And there's somebody with a skill set that they're going to be able to slowly restore that. You might think of yourself as that way, or again, you might see yourself as that way, or maybe you've judged too many people as that way. I bet when we're done, you'll be surprised at how that looks. If you will allow it, when God is finished with you, you'd be surprised at how whole you can be. So it's perfect again that we celebrate communion this morning. In the United Methodist Church, we practice an open communion so that anyone that will recognize that they've sinned, that they've done wrong, they've made choices that were counter to the choices God would have them make, and anyone that believes a better choice, a better way of life is found in God through Christ Jesus, anyone in that condition is welcome to join us for communion. Communion reminds us of the price that Jesus paid to make us whole. Again, he allowed himself to be broken to offer us wholeness. On the night that Jesus gathered with his disciples, he lifted up the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." In the same way, when the dinner was over, he lifted up the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of many. Do these things in remembrance of me." And so, mighty God, in remembrance of your acts and your deeds through Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Thank you for the elements that we have this morning and for your grace present through them. God, we pray that you pour out your Spirit on these. Make them into the body and the blood of Christ, that in this world we might be the body of Christ, transformed by his blood. God, make us one with you. One with each other by your Spirit, and one with the world through service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If those who are going to help serve would come forward this morning. We have someone who will come around if you're not able to come forward. If they pass you by, if they don't notice, please just raise your hand and they'll be happy to bring the elements to you.